Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Said, first become conscious, then you can become Krishna conscious. We can't become Krishna conscious if we're not even conscious about anything in our life to begin with. So he said, don't be Krishna unconscious. Krishna unconscious means we just do things by rote, not fully aware of what we're doing, or spacing out, like losing our focus or our concentration. So this was a good example here. Krishna used me as an example. So this is 7th canto, chapter 9, text number 7, yes? Astu siddharimika gra manasa susamahita prema gadgadaya vacha tanyasta hridayekshana. As translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj fixed his mind and his sight upon Lord Narasingadev with full attention in complete trance. With a fixed mind, he began to offer prayers in love with a faltering voice. Responsively, please. Prahlad Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word susamahita means very attentive or fully fixed. The ability to fix the mind in this way is a result of yoga siddhi, mystic perfection. As it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, 13th chapter, very first shloka, Janvastita tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yogina. One attains yogic perfection when he is freed from all material diversions and his mind is fixed upon the lotus feet of the Lord. This is called samadhi or trance. Prahlad Maharaj attained that stage beyond the senses. Because he was engaged in service, he felt transcendentally situated, and naturally his mind and attention became saturated in transcendence. In that condition, he began to offer his prayers as follows. So starting the next few weeks, it's going to be the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. So this is a description of our consciousness, what our consciousness should be in Krishna consciousness. First, we have to fix our mind. So we saw, as soon as we unfix our mind, we lose connection, we lose focus, and then we're lost. So the mind has to be fixed. So samahita means attentive. This is su samahita. Su means more attentive than attentive. It means extremely attentive. Just like we have in that Bhagavad Gita 9.2. Rajavidya rajaguyam pavitram idam uttamam pratyakshavagamam dharmam susukam kartum avyayam. So sukam means joyful, but susukam means more joyful than joyful, extremely joyful, transcendentally joyful, ecstatically joyful. So this is the same. So the whole concept is that we have to be fixed completely and wholly in full consciousness in whatever we do. And as soon as the mind begins to stray, we lose that connection. And when we lose the connection, then we're no longer connected. Yesterday, I gave a little talk and I gave the example of the light. The light is on because it's connected to the electricity. But if you don't pay your bill, there's no connection, there's no light. Similarly, if we're not connected to Krishna through our consciousness, then we do not become enlightened. So the ability to fix this mind, fix our mind, so that we're completely focused, Prabhupada explains, is a yoga siddhi. It's a yoga siddhi. Now, who can perform this yoga siddhi? Only yogis? or anybody who is completely dedicated. What do you think? What is your opinion? Anybody? Only yogis. Anyone else have an idea?
There in all the different yogas.
Okay, very good point. He says anybody who's completely dedicated to someone or to something, I should say, is already a part of yoga. That's a yogic thing already. They're already connected to some kind of yoga because yoga means what? Connection. Deeper than that, what does it mean? Union. Who said that? And deeper than union, what does yoga mean? Reunion. It means reunion. Reunion with Krishna. Reunion with a source. We've fallen away. We're in illusion. So to get back to that source is reunion, right? Reunion. But anyway, that's going deep. Let's not go deep. Let's come back to the shallow waters and dedication. We just had the Olympics. We saw people who were completely dedicated to their event, to their sport. And who was the most dedicated, the most fixed, the most concentrated got what kind of medal? Gold. Gold medal. So these Olympic athletes, they would wake up early in the morning, Brahma Muhurta, and they would train. They would run or jump or whatever it is that they do. They were completely fixed and focused. And as soon as you lose your focus, you don't win the event. So it's the same with us. What is our event? Our event is reunion with Krishna. And if we want to get the gold medal, we have to be completely focused, fixed, dedicated. So when we're dedicated to something, another word we can use, it means that we're devoted to something. We're completely devoted. We say that the mother is devoted to her child. A musician is devoted to his music. We have to be devoted to Krishna. If we're not devoted to Krishna, we're not going to get the result. What is the result? Let's listen here. Prahlad Maharaj fixed his mind and his sight upon Lord Nrisimhadeva with full attention in complete trance. Was he spacing out? Was he thinking of something else? He was completely like that. And because he was so fixed, because he was so focused, it illustrates his devotion. He began to offer prayers in love with a faltering voice. His voice was faltering out of such affection and love that he had. Some people may think his voice was faltering out of fear. He just saw this humongous, gigantic Lord Nrisimhadeva rip his father to shreds. Everyone else was terrified. So one may think he was also frightened. But he was the only one who came forward. And the Lord saw that he was fearless. And so what did Lord Nrisimhadeva do? He relaxed and he patted him on the head. This is a sign of love. You pat the little child on the head. And this increased the love of Prahlad Maharaj. So let's look at this point. Fearlessness and love. Love means to let go of fear. If we're fearful, then the love is blocked or checked. What was the name that Srila Prabhupada's father gave to him when he was a child? Abhay Charan. One of his uncles said he was born on the day after Janmashtami. Let's call him Nandulal. That is a perfect name for someone who's born the day after Janmashtami, Nandulal. But that was a good suggestion. But Prabhupada's father said, no, no, no. He will be called Abhay Charan. because he will take complete shelter of the lotus feet fearlessly. This was his wish and his blessing upon his son by giving this name. Prabhupada told us that his father was also a pure devotee. We don't know what his father knew or understood. Maybe he understood, here is the next Acharya, the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya that will fulfill the prophecy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Maybe he knew that. Maybe he didn't. We don't know. We don't speculate. But we do know he did not accept the name of Nandulal. He accepted the name. He said he will be called Abhay Charan. Then, 37 years later, think about it, 37 years, let's see, 1933 and 1896, that's 37 years later, Srila Prabhupada took initiation at age 37 from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And when he asked him, what is his name? He said, Abhay Charan. He said, ah, the name is already perfect. You already have a perfect name. I'll just add Aravinda. Abhay Charan Aravinda. Prabhupada was already married with many children. He had a business, Day's Pharmacy. He was what you today would call a congregational member. He would come after work and on Sundays, congregational member. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave him first and second initiation at the same time. Later, when two of his sannyasi godbrothers, Sridhar Maharaj and Goswami Maharaj, went to Bombay, Prabhupada had then relocated his business, not relocated his business, but he'd opened up branches in Bombay. So they asked if he would help. So he helped them. He knew people in Bombay and Mumbai. And he would help get donations and he began that mutt. So then they suggested to Bhaktisiddhanta, why he is Grihastha? He should immediately be given sannyas. He has done tremendous service. And Bhaktisiddhanta says, don't worry. You leave him be. He will do. In time, he will do. He will do. So, Srila Prabhupada can be compared to Prahlad Maharaj in that he was fixed in his devotion and his dedication to Guru and Gauranga, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Sri Krishna, to devotional service. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, when he sometimes began to speak, he also went into trance and spoke in a faltering voice. Were you there in Atlanta in 1975? Okay. One such occurrence was in the end of February in 1975. Prabhupada was on his 1975 world tour, which began Hong Kong, Tokyo, Hawaii, Los Angeles, Mexico, and then Caracas, Venezuela. In Caracas, Venezuela was Gornitai Murtis. And at that time, that temple was flourishing. Then he went to Miami, also Gornitai, beautiful, big, large Gornitai Murtis. Then when he came to Atlanta, also Gornitai. So he was feeling the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, how they had given their mercy to the people of these faraway places. And so he wanted to sing one song, Paramakaruna, Pahu Duijana, Nitai Gaura Chandra. You know this song? The supreme mercy. Param Karuna, not just the Karuna, but the Param Karuna, just like Susamanvita, the extreme mercy of these two personalities, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. He wanted to sing that song, so he asked, can somebody play the kol? Now that has a tal, which is known in Bengal as lofa tal. Does anybody know this tal? So everybody, yeah, we can play. But none of them could do. Tried this one, tried that one. No one could get it. So Prabhupada said, give me the call. So then he played. So Prabhupada played the call in that tal and he sang. And then when he finished singing, he began to speak about how glorious, how wonderful, how merciful was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And then he experienced what Prahlad Maharaj experienced. His voice began to falter. And he went into trance. And there was complete silence in the room. Devotees did not know what to do. This had happened in different occasions before. So people put their hands in their big bags and slowly began to chant Japa Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare, realizing they were witnessing something very extraordinary, that the Guru Maharaj had gone into samadhi, ecstatic trance, out of love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Then after some few minutes, Prabhupada came back to external consciousness and he said, thank you very much. And then he left. That was the class. So one attains this perfection of yoga, of what I call reunion. Yogic perfection, yoga city. This is a reunion with the Supreme. Because one has become, as Prabhupada said, materially exhausted, that I am no longer any attraction to material energy. He told us once, he said, in your previous lives, you have seen everything, you have done everything, you have tasted everything. Therefore, in this life, finish up your business and go back home, back to Godhead. That's what he said. In this life, finish up your business, go back home, back to Godhead, in this very life. Because we've seen it all in past lives. You know that shloka, that anyone who comes to devotional service, it means they've already visited all the holy tirthas, taken their bath in all the holy rivers. They've heard all the shastras. They've chanted all the mantras. They were at all the yajnas. They did all the svahas. And now they've come to the final stage, bhakti, pure devotional service, shuddha bhakti, shuddha bhakti. So he says, therefore now finish up your business and go back home, back to Godhead in this life. So we should be completely freed from all diversions of the material energy, because that's all it is, just a diversion to distract us from the goal. Whose business is it to distract us from the goal? Maya Devi. This is Maya Devi. She is the servant of Krishna. She is so dedicated to Krishna that she's not going to allow someone who is not 100% dedicated to Krishna to come into his association. So she's going to test you. Oh, are you qualified to come to my Lord? Or are you making big show? Amar nita mile na bulamon gor mile na shara gaye makile tila gor mile na. Anybody Bengalis in the room? Okay, then nobody understood. The song is about, we will not get the association, we will not meet, we will not have union with Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda. Even we completely put tilak all over our bodies, looking completely like Vaishnav. Why? Because bitor bahir tikna hole. Internally, we're not thinking fixed on Krishna's lotus feet. We're thinking so many other things. So many diversions are there. The mind is going here. The mind is going there. But externally, I present myself paka Vaishnav. Internally, not so paka. So who knows that I am not so paka? Because I'm presenting myself to everyone else as first-class paka. And they're saying, oh, paka Vaishnava. But who knows? Only two people know that I'm not paka Vaishnava. Me and Krishna. So therefore, we have to become very, very humble. And we have to be honest. We have to say, no, I am very fallen, actually. I may present myself like this, but actually I'm just practicing. It's called sadhana bhakti. When I was 6 years old, my mother wanted her son to be a cultured person. So she sent me for music lessons, musical theory, and to play the violin. Behala. Is that what you say in Hindi? In Bengali, it's behala. So when a six-year-old boy first begins to play the violin, it does not sound very good. It's scratchy and squeaky, and no one wants to hear it. But you practice, and then after 6 or 7 years, I became quite good. And I would give performances, and people would listen and applaud. Very beautiful. So it's the same with our devotion. We have to practice. And if we don't practice, we won't get good. But if we practice and follow all the instructions given by Guru, given by Shastra, given by the Mahatmas, the Mahajans, then we will also come to that level where we're no longer practicing, but we're actually there. We then become the Ashol Janish, the real devotee, the real thing, the real deal. That's what we want. That's why we're here, to become the real devotee. One class, Prabhupada said something which always stuck in my mind. He said, "My mission will be a success if..." And everybody, listen. "If one of you becomes a pure devotee, if simply one of you becomes a pure devotee, my mission will be a success." So I thought about that for many years, and this is the conclusion that I came to. After seeing, after 35 years of experience of seeing things in Krishna consciousness, I came to the conclusion that if one of us becomes a pure devotee, that guarantees that this dharma will go on. That the parampara system will go on for the future generations. But if one does not become a pure devotee, but he opens hundreds of temples, he distributes many books, he does serve so many plates of prasadam, that there's no guarantee that it will continue. Because without the person, to be the living example, the person Bhagavat, everything will decline, decline, decline to zero. We have had experience of this. 100 years after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his Nitya Parshad returned back home, back to Godhead, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was born. And he had to start from scratch. He had to again start this Vaishnav Dharma single-handedly. It had died out already. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Panchatattva, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, all these great Mahatmas, 100 years later, it was finished. He had to start from scratch. And he got the help, the assistance of Baladev Vidyabhushan and a few others. And again, he built it up, so it was vibrant. But 100 years later, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to start from scratch. The Vaishnavas were ridiculed. They were looked down upon. The Devi worshippers, the Shaktas, they were the ones who were glorified in society. And the Vaishnavas, he had to start from scratch again to bring it, and with the help of his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to bring Gaudiya Vaishnav philosophy and culture back to its most prominent position, where it should rightly be. So now we are seeing that this is the situation. Prabhupada has now fulfilled the prophecy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and taking it all over the whole world. But what will happen 100 years from now? So my mission will be a success, Prabhupada said, if one of you becomes a pure devotee. One of you in this room has to become a pure devotee for this mission to continue. We are on the way out. Prabhupada's disciples were on the way out. Another 10, 15, 20 years, there won't be anyone left. This is what Prabhupada told us in 1975 in Los Angeles. He came twice in 1975, once in February, the beginning of February, and then once in July. So in February, when he came, we had our Vaikuntha players, the drama troupe. So they had practiced this wonderful, they had rehearsed this wonderful drama, The Pandavas Retire Timely, you know, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, that chapter. So then one evening after the Gaur Arti, the Sandha Arti, then in Los Angeles Temple, over there was the darshan for the Murtis, and the Vyasa-san was here. Then they put the stage over there, just a small stage about this high. And then they performed. It was about 1 hour. It was very, very wonderful. And I remember certain parts when the Pandavas were saying, okay, so we won't have a war, just give us 5 villages to manage, and then we don't have to have this big war. Because we're Kshatriyas, we have to manage something. We're administrators. Give us just 5 villages. And I remember Duryodhan, my godbrother Madhava, he said, I will not even give you as much land as you can put under the head of a pin. And everybody looked at Prabhupada. Many times during that play, whenever there was something very powerful, everyone would turn around to see what was Prabhupada's reaction. Then at the end, Prabhupada was very, very pleased. And everybody turned around, and then Prabhupada began to speak. And the first thing he did was he gave an Oscar. You know Oscar? He said, the Academy Award goes to Yudhisthira. That was Lokamangala. Our godbrother Lokamangala, he had played Yudhisthira. So Prabhupada gave him the Academy Award, the Oscar for best performance. Everybody went, Haribo. Then Prabhupada began to speak, and this is what he said. He said, so, my Guru Maharaj ordered me to spread this Dharma, Bhagavad Dharma of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. But I am an old man. What can an old man do? Therefore, my Guru Maharaj is so kind upon me that he sent all of you to help me. And now I'm very happy to say that the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are in the right hands. And we were all looking at each other. Who is he talking about? Not me. Who are the right hands? But Prabhupada had that much confidence in us. He saw that his Guru Maharaj had sent us to help him. And now it was in the right hands. But I think that now it is in the right hands. We have taken it and given it to you, so now it is really in the right hands. Because you are the sons of the soil. The putra, punya bhumi putra, right? You are the sons of the punya bhumi. This is your inheritance. Sons and daughters. Let's not forget the daughters. So, if any one of you becomes a pure devotee, this mission will go on and can never be checked. Your duty is to become Shuddha Bhakta. We're not coming here for comfortable lodging or comfortable, delicious prasad. We're not coming here as something that is punya, something good for my life. But we have to be dedicated. I'm coming here because I am carrying the greatest treasure, the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I have been given the responsibility to transmit these teachings to the next generation. And in order to transmit these teachings to the next generation, you have to be Krishna conscious. In other words, what you speak, what you think, and what you do must be all one. Prabhupada told us one time in another class, he said, as Vaishnavas, we don't have private life and public life. We have one life. What you see is what you get. I am who I am. What I think, what I say, what I do, that's me, 100%. I don't, in my private life, I'm something different. I'm thinking something else. I have some other agenda. No. We have to become, he said like this, you have to become solid. Fixed up. Fixed up means solid. Solid. Not spongy, but solid. I always remembered that. Fixed up means solid. So we have to become very sincere, very genuine, very dedicated. If an Olympic athlete can be so dedicated just to get some piece of metal, a gold color, and I'm sure it's just gold on the top, inside is some base metal, it's not solid gold, then why we have something much more valuable to dedicate ourselves to. I'm using the Olympic analogy because they have just completed. So it's fresh in people's minds. So we should be dedicated to this. Because whatever we do, we should be dedicated to it. If we become dedicated to whatever endeavor we do, then success is guaranteed. So we have come to this line. We should become very dedicated, very serious about it, and to do our very best. If you do your very best, then you are solid, paka. There is the example from Ramayana. Hanumanji was building bridge to Lanka. He wrote on these huge boulders the name of Ram, and they would float on the water. There was one squirrel in a tree watching. He was very enlivened to see that Hanumanji is doing such wonderful service for Lord Ram. And he became so inspired, he also wanted to serve Lord Ram. So he came down from the tree and he began to kick in some stones to help build the bridge. So when Hanuman saw that, he said, "Get out of my way, I may step on you. Please, move, 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 move. I'm doing big seva here." And then Lord Ram chastised him. "No, Hanuman. No. You are doing your best. He's doing his best. Therefore, you are equal in my eyes." Equal in my eyes. Samadarshan. God has samadarshan. He has equal vision. What about the devotees? Do they have equal vision? Pandit Samadarshanaha. You know that shloka? He knows. Anybody else knows? That the devotee, he sees that whether someone is a Brahmin or a chandala or an elephant or a dog or someone who eats dogs even, he sees everyone as Nitya Krishna Das. This is called Samadarshana. Sees everyone equally as Nitya Krishna Das. Because he doesn't see by the body. He doesn't see by externals. He can see in the heart. This is called Shastra Chakshur. The vision of the Shastra. So we should be like this. We should not be. There's a very nice letter that Prabhupada wrote. And he was saying, he was preaching, giving instruction to one of our God brothers, saying how we must become very much the person Bhagavat, that what we're speaking, we must speak the truth, and we have to see everyone with equal vision. He says, we are criticizing in India these smarta Brahmins, who are basing everything externally on your birth and how you look, how you dress. We're criticizing them, but if we have the same vision, the same mentality, that will not look very good for us. You understand the point? We cannot be like that. We're already saying, oh, look at them. They are not accepting. They do not have the vision. But if we are the same, Maya will test us. Oh, you're thinking like this. Let me test you. And then we commit the same fault in our own daily life, just going outside in Bombay. So in this way, Maya is our best teacher. Maya is not there to trip us up or to prevent us from being successful, but Maya is there to hold up a mirror so that we can see who we really are. That I am not the first-class brahmachari. I am not the pakagrihasta. I am just a struggling soul trying to do my best. Can you do better than your best? Can anybody do better than their best? Yes or no? Someone says yes. What do other people say? No. Best is best. How can you do better than best? So if you do your best, the squirrel did his best, Hanuman did his best, equal vision. Lord Ram saw them equally. So if you do your best, Prabhupada did his best, how will Krishna see us? With equal vision. Is that a good deal for us? You're not sure? Is that a good deal for us? Yes. Just do your best. My mother always used to say to me, you're not doing your best. You can do better. And she was right. I wasn't doing my best. Because I was bored. I wasn't interested in everything that was presented to me. I had some initial interest, but then it wasn't satisfying. It wasn't fulfilling. And so I began to wane in my interest. And she'd always say, you're not doing your best. But in Krishna consciousness, we can do our best because that is fully satisfying. It is fulfilling. This is something that we can actually do our best and be dedicated to and be committed to. We need commitment and dedication to do our best, to be successful in this path. And when you do your best, Krishna reciprocates. Ye yatamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajam yaham. Yesterday I gave that example. If we are only giving 10% in Krishna consciousness, Krishna will reciprocate 10%. But if we give 100%, Krishna will reciprocate 100%. Now my 100% and Krishna's 100%, that is the same? No. Krishna's 100% is millions and million times greater than my 100%. So if I give 100% and Krishna reciprocates his 100%, is that a good deal for me? He's convinced. Anybody else convinced? It's a very good deal. It's very good for us. Our position is so bright. Our future is so bright that each and every one of you will have to wear sunglasses. Really? Our future is so bright. Just don't slip and don't fall. Remain fixed on the goal. So, to tie it into the purport here, Prahlad Maharaj, Prabhupada says, because he was engaged in service, he felt transcendentally situated. We're being engaged in service. It's not pure service. We're practicing that service. But in that practice comes the purity. And from there comes the dedication and commitment. Because from the heart, as it becomes cleansed, purified, pure love comes out. In that heart is pure love. Divine love. Krishna prema is in our heart. But it is covered. There's a big wall, and every one of our material thoughts and material desires is another brick in the wall, separating our consciousness from that Krishna prema that's in our heart. So we have to dismantle this wall, pull out brick by brick these desires and these thoughts, negative thoughts. This kam, krodh, lobh, moha, madha, all this thing, ahankara, all these things, we have to brick by brick dismantle that wall and out comes Krishna prema. It's there. What is the process for dismantling that wall? You listen carefully. Now I'm going to tell you the big secret. Are you fully attentive to hear? Here is the process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. One time in Mayapur, Vishnujan Maharaj had gone with many brahmacharis to take bath, and then coming back, someone said, "Maharaj, I just saw a snake." And Maharaj says, "Well, do you know the snake mantra? The mantra to banish all the snakes, to protect you from the snakes?" They said, "No, what is it?" "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." This is the Maha Mantra. This Maha Mantra, Kali Kalmash, it destroys all the negativity, all the bad things of Kali Yuga. Therefore, this Kali Yuga is glorified by the rishis that in this age, the process to attain Krishna Samadhi is so easy simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It is made so easy in this age. Kale Kale Nam Rupe Krishna Avatar. This Maha Mantra is Krishna himself. For example, we see here the Srimurti. This is Krishna himself in his form for the eyes. The Maha Mantra is Krishna himself in the form for the ears. Mahaprasad is Krishna himself in the form for the tongue. Krishna is so merciful, he comes in many different forms so we can experience him in different ways. Out of all those ways, out of all those forms, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam, out of all those Anantarups that Krishna comes, which is the most powerful? The Namrupe is the most powerful because the sound, the hearing, Shabda Brahman, this is the most powerful sense, hearing. When all other senses fail, still this Shabda is there. Prabhupada gave the example, your house is burning, but you're sleeping. There's no way you can rescue someone but to shout, "Wake up, wake up." He hears it and he saves his life. You offer him prasad while he's sleeping, nothing. You show him a murti of Sri Krishna while he's sleeping, nothing. Yeah. Only Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then he wakes up, ah yes, and saves his life. So this is the most powerful form of the Lord, is Maha Mantra. I don't even call it a mantra anymore. It's Krishna Rupini. It's a form of Krishna. And when I'm chanting, I'm not chanting mantras anymore. Someone may think he chants very nice mantra, but I'm not thinking I'm chanting mantra. I'm thinking that I'm singing a love song to the Supreme Lover. When I sing Hare Krishna, it's a love song. It's a song of love. If there's no love, then how he will be attracted? How can we attract Krishna? What have we got to attract Krishna? Whatever qualities we may have, compared to the qualities in the spiritual world, it is nothing. Zero, practically. So what is it we can offer Krishna that can attract his attention? Only our heart. Only our love. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Our bhajan has to be priti purvakam, completely imbued with love. If that love is there, that priti, that prem is there, then dadami buddhi yogam tam yena maam upayanti te. Krishna will give you the buddhi of yoga. The buddhi yoga means the intelligence for reunion, so that you can come to him and stay with him forever. This is what Krishna wants. But first, bhajatam priti purvakam. Desham, it's open to anybody. Doesn't say for sannyasis or grihastas or brahmacharis or males or females or Indians or Africans. No. Desham, anybody. Satata yuktanam bhajatam. Always engaged in bhajan. How? Priti purvakam. If we do our bhajan without the priti, is empty. Is empty. Prabhupada used to call it show bottle. You know show bottle? They have a bottle full of nectar. But in the shop window, they just put the bottle, no nectar there, just to show it. This is called show bottle. Show bottle will not do. Our hearts have to be filled with nectar. Our consciousness has to be filled with Krishna consciousness. And this was the case of Prahlad Maharaj. Therefore, he was fearless, this young boy, 5 years old. All the soldiers, everybody in that assembly was terrified, shaking like a leaf when the wind is blowing. And this young boy comes forward to offer him a mala. And when Lord Nrisimhadev saw this young boy, he was fearless, coming forward to honor him. He patted him on the head. And then Prahlad Maharaj was inspired to express his love and affection, which is, these prayers are now, for the next few weeks, you'll be going over these prayers. And as he began to speak, his voice was faltering out of so much affection and love. So because we're engaged in service, we can become transcendentally situated, and then it will be very natural for the mind and the senses and our whole focus and concentration to become saturated in that transcendence of Shuddha Bhakti. Shuddha Bhakti means Shuddha Seva. And it all begins Jivan Mukhe, with the tongue, chanting the holy names, speaking only Krishna Katha, taking only Mahaprasad. This is the beginning. And we follow that. We become saturated. Saturated. Vishnujan Swami, that was his favorite word. Prabhupada used it a lot. You become saturated with Krishna consciousness, saturated with divine love. And then your life is perfect. So this process of bhakti yoga, I will tell you how powerful it is. You already know, but I want to give you deeper understanding. Bhakti, we call the yoga of devotion, is it not? And where does devotion come from? Where? No. From our heart. Radharani's devotion's already there. She's not going to give to you. It has to come from you. The offering has to come from you. Supposing I give you some gold and I say, give it to the Murtis. And you go to the Murtis and say, I'm offering you gold. You didn't say that he gave it to me. It's his offering. You're saying my offering. Is that a good thing? No, that's not honest. It's our own love. It's our own devotion that we have to offer, not someone else's. We have to be honest. So bhakti yoga means the devotion in our own heart. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, where should we, when we're singing, where do we sing from? You're all afraid to answer. From our throat. No, you sing from your heart. You sing from your heart. If you're only singing from your throat, will that attract Krishna? That will not attract Krishna. This whole thing, Krishna, what's the meaning of the word Krishna? All attractive. Akarshan, the whole thing is based on attraction. We want to attract Krishna's attention. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained to Prabhupada, you don't go into the temple to see the Murti. You go into the temple so the Murti can see you. That's why we come, so the Murti can see you. But which you is he seeing? The pure you or the you that you're the public, you're giving the nice face to the public? Krishna can see through that. So bhakti yoga is a yoga of devotion which comes from the heart. And when we chant Hare Krishna, we have to chant from the heart. And where does Krishna reside in the human body? In the heart, not in the mind. In the heart. You see the connection. Bhakti yoga, chanting Krishna, it's all from the heart. It's all from the heart. If you approach to the intellect, you will not find Krishna. He is not in the intellect. Bhajatam priti purvakam. There's nothing about intellect there. It's all from the heart. And that is why the ladies have an advantage over the men, because they are more devotionally inclined. The men are more philosophically inclined, so they're thinking, I can approach through the intellect.
Big mistake.
If I have some gold, one piece of gold, and I hide it in one room, and someone else is looking in the other room, will they find it? How they can find it? If Krishna's in the heart and I'm looking in the intellect, will I find him? Not possible. So this bhakti yoga, this devotional service, is meant to unlock the heart so that you can connect with Krishna face to face. So, by the mercy of Narada Muni, Prahlad Maharaj became a pure devotee. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we can also become pure devotees. But it's up to us. When Vishnujan Swami was just a brahmachari, he took sannyas after 2 years in the movement. He didn't take sannyas. Prabhupada gave him, here, you take sannyas. He didn't want to take sannyas, but Prabhupada said, take sannyas. Okay? Guru is saying. But when he was a brahmachari, everyone used to say, you got so much mercy from Prabhupada, so much mercy from Prabhupada. So one time in a darshan, he asked Prabhupada, everyone's saying that you've given me so much mercy. Why have you given me so much mercy? He asked that question, why you've given me so much mercy? Prabhupada said, no, my mercy for everyone is equal. But you have taken it most. You took it more. So the mercy is there equally for everyone. Who will take it the most? This is up to you. It is now in your hand. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions? Okay, so he was first, then you're second. Yes. Go ahead. Microphone.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for a wonderful class.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Prabhuji, you mentioned that your mother used to tell you that you're not putting your best.
Right.
and then you saw it as you're not fully interested in what was presented to you. So I was thinking that, it's very important to have taste in what you're doing. And Canto 1, Chapter 2 says you can get taste from serving the devotees who are residing in a holy dham. So what is the best service can you offer these devotees so that they are pleased?
The best service that you can offer to devotees to please them? Well, I have my idea. But I think that if you're the cook, and you cook first-class prasadam, you're pleasing the Vaishnavas the most. That is the real taste. But we have to be able to reciprocate properly. Ye yatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajam yaham. If I'm thinking that this Mahaprasad is non-different than Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate that way. But if I'm just thinking it's my meal, then Krishna reciprocates as a meal, not as the Supreme Lord. But also, the best service you can actually give is to give Mahamantra and explain what is Mahamantra. This is the best service. This has always been the best service. This is what the Shastra says. Sevan mukahi jivado. The real service begins when we vibrate the holy name and share that with others. So this is the best service. And they can get the taste by taking it up, but also by seeing our behavior. They want to see that the result that we got from chanting. Oh, you're saying to me so many things, but they're looking to see what is the result you got. So they don't care what you know. They want to know that you care. So we have to approach everyone with love. We have to approach everyone with prema. And we have to offer them this Harinam Sankirtan with joy and with full honor and respect. Full honor and respect we have to give them. That's the best service you can do for anybody, for any living entity. And the taste will come automatically. Here Prabhupada says, because Prahlad Maharaj was engaged in service, he felt transcendentally situated, and naturally his mind and attention became saturated in transcendence. So the first thing is prasad. One time, Hari Sori, Prabhupada's servant, when they were in London, he arranged for his parents to come to have darshan of Prabhupada. So they came, and after the darshan, they had to leave quickly because they had some other engagement. So it was a very nice darshan. So then when Hari Sori, after he saw them to their car and they drove away, he came back to see Prabhupada. First thing Prabhupada said, "So, did they get some prasad?" And Hari Sori said, "Well, we didn't have any time. They had to leave quickly." They didn't get any prasad. Prabhupada was very disturbed. No, bad, bad mistake. Big, big mistake. Must get prasad. Most important thing. Most important thing in the beginning is to get prasad, Mahaprasad. Because you can hear and it go in one ear and out the other. But you take Mahaprasad, it digests and becomes part of you. Mahaprasad can't go in and out like that, you see? So very important. But then next stage of importance is Krishna Katha, hearing Mahamantra. And after reciting Mahamantra for some time, then you can hear Shastra and understand Shastra. Otherwise, we won't understand Shastra without proper purification. So you ask, what is the best service? Best service, according to Shastra, is the Mahamantra. But according to Prabhupada, first most important thing is they must get Mahaprasad. Is that helpful? Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji. You want to give the microphone?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It's the most wonderful lecture you have given. I have no question, but I have a comment to make, if you allow me, and I hope it is not impertinence on my part. You said that Prabhupada said, "I'll be very happy if one of you become pure devotee." I have no knowledge of pure devotion or whatever it is, Maharaj. But Prabhuji, I think according to my small intelligence that they are already, Prabhupada must be dancing with ecstasy. There are so many pure devotees. See, these wonderful brahmacharis. So nice they are in this world. We know what is happening outside in this world. And these young boys are doing so much good service to humanity. Radhana Swami Maharaj, Jayadvad, Giriraj, Sachidananda, I don't know many. There are so many grastis like Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Shenachi, Adikesha Prabhu. So many people I can name. Aren't they already pure devotees?
So Prabhupada was saying, even if one of you, so many pure devotees were there. So yes, Prabhupada must be very, very pleased. There's no doubt. As long as this mission goes on in the next generation and the next generation without any alteration, then he will be extremely pleased. And when we come here to Chaupati, we're also extremely pleased to see how nicely things are going on. That's why whenever we come to India, this is the first place. Last year we also came here, the year before, because this is very inspirational for us and for everyone involved. So yes, I feel that Prabhupada is very pleased. But when I made that point, the point was that each and every one of us has to take responsibility to ensure that this Bhagavad Dharma will go on in the next generation. We shouldn't have the mentality that he will do, she will do. No, I must take that responsibility that I will do. That was my point.
Last, I'll say you yourself is a pure devotee. You are delivering such beautiful lectures, purifying us. And that's the definition I understand as a pure devotee. Thank you so much.
You have the vision that everyone is pure devotee, and that is the vision of a pure devotee. So you have that consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes.
Thank you very much for the nice class, Prabhuji. So I only mentioned that we can do better than the best. Mm. What was in my mind was, the best varies with time and circumstances also. In every situation, we should try to do the best. So that is what is in your mind. Am I understanding right?
In every situation, if we do our best, this pleases Guru and Krishna the most. So this is what we want to do. Spiritual life is successful when we please Guru and Krishna. If we do something to the best of our ability, but Guru and Krishna is not pleased, then Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. It was simply a useless waste of time. The whole focus is to please Guru and Krishna. And it is not so difficult to please Guru and Krishna. Simply we have to have two qualities. The first quality is humility. Humility means that I give all honor and all respect to everybody else. I put myself last. Everyone else first. And Prabhupada taught us that, and that's why we call everyone Prabhu. And the second quality is tolerance. That if I'm rejected or ignored or insulted or even glorified, I still remain the same inside. I'm not disturbed, I'm not exhilarated. No matter how I'm treated, I remain the same. Just a simple, humble devotee, that's all. This, in such a state of mind, one can always chant Hare Krishna and always please Guru and Krishna. So this is the secret, the developing these qualities. And we develop these qualities by chanting purely, without offense, the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the secret of success. Is that it? Okay, so now the second part of the purification process, honoring Mahaprasad. That should also be done without offense. We should offenselessly take Mahaprasad also with full concentration and full dedication, that this is non-different than Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.